Joining us now on Animal Concerns of Texas, Lisa Levinson. Thank you for being with us on the show, Lisa.
Hi, thanks for inviting me.
Lisa, can we start out by having you tell our listeners how you became involved in veganism and animal issues?
Oh, sure. Let's see, many moons ago, I was very concerned about animals and loved animals, but also became vegan and wanted to do something about it. So I met up with a group of artists, and we decided to start a group called Public Eye Artists for Animals that offered compassion for animals through the arts. And we did a lot of public performances, and we addressed animal rights issues using the arts. So that's how I became involved in the animal rights community. Mm. Before that, I was rescuing kitties and bunnies and all kinds of other creatures. And I also started a toad detour in Philadelphia to help migrating toads cross the road safely.
Oh, that's cool.
How do you do that?
You go out in the street and wave your arms?
I did. That's how I started, actually, just going in the street and waving my arms, stopping traffic, and toads cross the road. And after a couple of seasons of doing this, some people were concerned about either me or the toads and called the police. And so, but what happened was we had a little miracle moment where the police officer, I showed her one of the toads that was dying in my hand, and she had some compassion and called one of her other people, you know, working with her, one of her team, and they each barricaded the road, one on one side and one on the other. Meanwhile, hundreds of toads were allowed to just cross freely during that time, and that gave me the idea to start this toad detour. So after that, I contacted the city, and I think the city of Philadelphia, the streets department, put together the very first official permit to block the road in order to have toads crossing.
That's cool.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Well, I remember as when I was a kid in South Dakota, we had these huge, you know, the explosive breeding populations of frogs and toads after rainfall events. And it was horrific watching my parents drive down the street. I mean, it was like you said, a mass murder, you know, going on.
Yeah, exactly. So I really empower everyone just to, when you see something that just doesn't sit right with you, to get out of the car and do something about it, because it doesn't take too much. I think once people become aware of what's happening, they also will join in. And there's actually about 200 volunteers every year who go out to help the toads cross now.
Besides toads, there are wildlife bridges now over some major highways to help migrations of animals. So things are going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, definitely.
I remember trips I've made to South Texas where there were tarantula spider migrations, and I'd have to swerve all over the road as I drove. How long have you been with In Defense of Animals?
I've been with IDA for a couple of years, actually.
And you're director of the Sustainable Activist Campaign there?
Yes.
Tell us more about that campaign.
Sure. So the Sustainable Activism Campaign, what we do is we offer emotional and spiritual resources to people who help animals. And we believe that every activist has a vital role to play in the animal rights movement. And so that we don't lose a single activist to burnout or compassion fatigue or depression, we provide these resources so that people can stay in the movement for the long haul. And a few details about that. I mean, we have this main strategy that we're using. One of them is trauma stewardship, and another is nonviolent communication, and also sacred activism. And under the category of sacred activism is where vegan spirituality fits. So each of these different strategies help activists thrive because trauma stewardship, that refers to this idea where people, we witness trauma, even just on Facebook or while we're rescuing cats in the streets, or we see a lot of this and then it affects us. So we need to also find a way to heal our own trauma from seeing those things. And so these these tools can help people to kind of recover and heal and continue helping the animals. And nonviolent communication is another great strategy because it helps people to communicate more effectively and to listen and to encourage empathic listening, which reduces conflict and also encourages people to have better relationships.
You know, a lot of activists suffer from secondary traumatic stress disorder from witnessing, even in movies, you know, not necessarily just in real life, but we see films about animal abuse, and it causes depression and anger, and it's probably something widespread through our animal rights movement.
Yeah, and we are trying to provide these resources to kind of bolster our community, to support each other, so that we can be strong and continue to take care of the animals in the way that we do with our advocacy. We have to take care of ourselves. That's really crucial so that the movement can keep going and be strong and resilient.
Right. Can you think of a time where you were affected personally and were going through burnout and how you dealt with it?
Yeah, I think that sometimes actually when I was doing the toad detour, because I went out there every single night for months in a row, and just to, sometimes people were rude and sometimes people were encouraging, but to be able to handle those experiences, I think it helped me to take breaks occasionally, to do something for myself. Every once in a while, I think those are really important things, to do things you enjoy, like, you know, whether it's dance or poetry or art, something that helps to nurture you so that you can continue to be out there and help the animals. And something I found really helpful, because I did witness a lot of casualties on the road out there, was to balance those kind of negative stories or images with positive ones. So this was something I did regularly. I sought out positive animal stories and gathered people around me who shared them so that I could feel uplifted.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of dwelling on the horror and the pain, try to look at the positive aspects of being able to help so many animals. And I think that's one thing about that's great about veganism, is because every time you know, you make a decision of what you're going to eat, you're helping and saving animals, saving them from suffering and from death. And so if you try to focus on that when people ask you, you know, why you're vegan, you know, what I usually say is because I care about animals and I don't want to contribute to that, you know, and think about the positive things that you're doing by just a simple dietary choice.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the single most effective ways to make a big difference. Just, it really makes a difference, and I think that's something each person who becomes vegan makes a difference for the animals.
I think, especially nowadays, with so many documentaries like Blackfish and Earthlings and some of these traumatic videos that some of us either see on purpose or just come across, and I just saw recently a new one that's going to be about the dog and cat meat trade, and I just trying to think, boy, I'm going to have to prepare myself for that. And I'm sure, you know, more and more people are experiencing this trauma as these movies and other videos get out.
Yeah, so it's actually a good time to have this sustainable activism campaign, because we have more and more access to these videos and we need more tools to learn how to deal with them, because it's important for us to keep informed, but we also want to stay positive and uplifted and emotionally healthy so that we can continue to advocate for animals.
So you do think these films that show these horrific things that are being done to animals on every day, every hour, every minute across the planet, you think they're important, though, for people to be able to see them, even though they do cause these side effects?
Well, I do. I think it also depends on what stage you are in your activism. So if you're new to activism and you're learning about all these things, I think it can be helpful. And I think especially if you're educating people who don't know about it and are in a state of denial. But once you become really familiar with a lot of it, I think it's maybe more important to take care of your sensibilities and sensitivities and make a choice whether you feel like today's the day I can watch this or whether or not just knowing the information may be enough, because you have a whole storehouse of images already in your mind that fuel your activism. So sometimes for myself, I'll make a choice like that and say, you know, I know about this.
Definitely. I can't get an image out of my mind from the last movie we showed at a vegetarian society dinner. So it's important to take care of yourself. Can you give us some practical examples of what the campaign does, your retreats and other things you do?
Oh, sure. Yeah. We have a variety of services that we offer, and most of them are free. We do have, across the country, there are meetup groups. And the first one started in Philadelphia many years ago. But we do have them in Los Angeles. We have them in Kansas. And we have them in Oregon and all across the country, actually. So there's over 15 groups, and they meet monthly to discuss and explore what does it mean to decide that veganism is part of your spiritual path. It is your spiritual journey. And so sometimes we bring in speakers. Sometimes we have a potluck and a discussion about a reading. I just recently invited a spiritual teacher in, and we did some a kirtan and chanting. So it really depends. Each leader runs their group very uniquely, depending on their own interests and whether it's more alternative or more traditional in terms of their spiritual practice. So these groups meet, and we have these in-person connections with each other, because providing community is really important when you're becoming vegan, so that you're not the only vegan in your area and also the only one who feels that their spirituality is important to them. So they want to stay connected to that and also be connected to vegan morals and values. So that's one thing that we offer. And then we offer these regional retreats where we bring in speakers, we do yoga, meditation. We also have a walk in nature to make sure we stay connected to what brought us together in the first place. And then we do a ritual together that's a creative version of an animal blessing, where we honor the animals who are suffering around the world, and we also create a vision of harmony between humans and animals, and then we do a blessing for the animals who are with us there. Usually people bring their companion animals. So that's a fun event. It's a day of reconnecting. It's really to feed our vegan souls and to be together and to feel that sense of community. So those are events that we do in person. And last year, we started our first activist healing retreat, where we brought in speakers to focus on nonviolent communication techniques. And then we also shared a meal together, and we did another healing ritual that involved kind of proclaiming how we want to support each other in the community, things that we do in person. But we also have some online events, too.
Yeah, I noticed that you even have conference calls in Spanish, which would be great for people in our area.
Yeah. So we recently discovered that online services are super helpful, because it doesn't involve going anywhere. People can, it's convenient, it's easy, and free. So we've been doing a lot of that. And so the first Thursday of every month, we offer a sustainable activism webinar. We bring in different professionals in the field. We've had Dr. Will Tuttle. Our next one is called Despair Repair with Ray Sikora. And then every second Thursday of the month, we offer vegan spirituality online gatherings. And those are for folks who may not be near one of these local vegan spirituality meetups to gather in person. So we do a full program online. Judy Carman, the author of Peace to All Beings, co-hosts that with me. And we usually have a discussion. We bring in a speaker each time. And then we also close with a reading or a prayer for the animals. And then the fourth Thursday of the month, and this is very new, we're just starting it actually tomorrow, we're doing a animal activist support group. And that is really what it sounds like. We're offering a traditional, like almost like a group therapy session with activists. And we're going to have an opportunity to speak among ourselves about issues that are going on in the community, in our lives, and to share with each other, provide feedback, and a sense of support. So that will be happening on the fourth Thursday of every month. And then we also have on Monday through Wednesday, we have an animal activist mentor line, which offers free, confidential one-on-one counseling with fellow activists who are trained in nonviolent communication. So that's another great resource that we want to spread the word about, because there are folks there waiting to be of service. And I'll go ahead and share the number. It's 1-800-705-0425, or folks can email mentor@idausa.org. So those are really ongoing resources that we provide for activists.
And people can find out more information and get that phone number again at the IDA website. Is that true?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
And for the, we have actually three key websites. They all start with idausa.org, but we have an activist resource list, which is available there. We also have an events, upcoming events, and an activist mentor line. The information is all there on the website.
One thing I noticed was a common thread through most of the conversation today is this idea of vegan spirituality. And can you tell our listeners how you accommodate people from all avenues of spirituality, since there's very many paths to this?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, many people that we've met have shared with us that veganism is their religion. They feel that that's their spiritual path. So for them, it's a natural fit, and being together and discussing why that is and sharing our definitions of vegan values is part of that. So there are other folks who come in, they have other spiritual communities that they've been connected to and devoted to for years, and they join our group because it offers a place where they can express their vegan spiritual self. So what happens for some is that they are in their churches or synagogues and they feel a little disconnected after an event when they bring out the non-vegan food. And so in those moments, it's nice to have a community that you can go back to and share, wow, I had a rough time at
our Easter celebration, or something like that, where they bring out the ham or something.
Yeah, exactly. So you have people to come back and share that with and have a sense of support and also feel acknowledged and validated for your choices that you've made. So that happens very frequently in communities across the country where people are involved in both, so that they get the support that they need.
I mean, animal protection is really the next, you know, great civil or social justice movement. And it's just about extending our compassion that we have for our fellow beings to the animals as well. Did you all have any particular success looking at what other social justice movements have done in dealing with burnout themselves?
Very interesting question. Yeah, we actually, right now, we do collaborate with other groups. And we recently had a speaker for one of our webinars who was addressing human oppression in the animal rights community. But some of these, looking at these issues of how our different social movements can help sustain each other by offering self-care and community care, those are kind of hot topics. But in terms of looking back at social justice movements in the past, yes, Judy Carman and I have looked into that as for understanding why would vegan spirituality help the animal rights movement, because many of the movements had a spiritual basis, and that provided a sense of faith and hope to continue when we're being challenged by folks about our beliefs.
Right.
So to have that sense of connection to our spiritual roots, which go back to the concept of ahimsa, which is that dynamic harmlessness, or really making an effort to not harm any living beings. And I appreciate what you shared about extending that circle of compassion. That is truly my favorite concept, is to bring our sense of compassion beyond the human circle into all of the other living beings.
That's great.
We've been talking with Lisa Levinson. You can learn more about spiritual veganism by going to veganspirituality.com. You can also learn more about the sustainable activism campaign by going to idausa.org. Thank you for being with us on the show today, Lisa.
Oh, thank you. This is a true delight. I'm very grateful for this opportunity.